The time has come to step in from the beautiful afternoon and to do some business, unfortunately. This is a regular meeting of the Mat-Su Borough Assembly. It's after 6 o'clock, so there's really no reason to go ahead, Madam Clerk.
Warren Keogh, District 1.
Present.
Noel Woods, District 2.
Present.
Ronald Arvin, District 3.
Here.
Steve Culligan, District 4.
Here.
Darcy Salmon, District 5.
Here.
Jim Culver, District 6.
Here.
Vern Halter, District 7.
Here.
You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. So, we have the agenda. Mr. Manager, you had some...
Yes, good evening, Mr. Mayor. I have a couple changes. On page 5 of 7, resolution, it's listed as B, resolution serial number 13-048, resolution approving certain unincorporated communities. We would like to pull that this evening. It will be coming back to your next meeting. The next page, page 6 of 7, under new business introductions, number 1, ordinance serial number 13-047, these are all slated for public hearing on April 16th. We would like to change this specific one to the public hearing on May 7th. That's serial number 13-047, an ordinance excluding Block 1, Lots 1, 2, and 3 of the Chugach View Estates. Thank you.
Okay, I think the clerk's the only one that needs to pay attention to that, and the deputy mayor. Well, at this point, there's... no agenda, so I think the manager has the discretion. Yeah. It's a piece on it, on a... is there any objection? I don't hear any. Any other items on the agenda? Any Assemblymember Culver?
Resolution 13-049, which item C under resolution, and the State Forest Resolution 13051, item E.
Okay. Anything else on the consent agenda?
Item B, 13050.
Okay. Item D. Anything else? Huh? Oh, I thought it's
13050.
That's D. Are you talking about resolution 13050, Assemblymember Woods?
Yes.
Is that it? Is there any objection to what's left of the agenda? Seeing and hearing none, it passes. And we will rise. I'm going to ask Ms. Molly Boyer to lead us in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have the minutes on the agenda. Any comments? Corrections, objections? Hearing none, we'll move on to the special orders of the day, and that is a proclamation. And do I go down there?
You can, or you can read it up here, and I give it to her, whichever way you would like to do it.
Well, I need to stand up, so. I want you to pay attention. You're going to hear some up-to-date language in here. How we're supposed to do this. Anyway, whereas the Mat-Su Borough is home to the first regional resource recovery and training park facility in Alaska. That's the new language.
Whereas the Valley Community for Recycling Solutions first offered recycling opportunities to the borough residents in April of 1998, and whereas International Earth Day is celebrated every year on April 22nd to inspire awareness and appreciation for the Earth's natural resources, and whereas there is a need to increase awareness about the benefits of recycling, recovering, and reusing resources for economic development, and whereas all of the Earth's resources are precious, human, animal, plant, mineral, water, air, soil, and whereas, as stewards of the Earth, we hold the keys to the future health of our planet, and whereas all resources, renewable or non-renewable, virgin or recycled, are intrinsically part of the sustainability of life on Earth for the long-term good of all. Therefore, be it resolved that I, Larry DeVilbiss, Mayor of the Mat-Su Borough, designate April as Resource Awareness Month in the Mat-Su Borough and encourage all citizens to reduce, recycle, and develop resources, foster the growth of jobs, and promote sustainable energy practices in the borough. And the rest of it's just boilerplate.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Assembly. Thank
you. Reports from cities. Come right up.
Thank you, Mayor DeVilbiss, members of the Assembly, Manager Moosey. Doug Griffin, City Manager, City of Palmer. I'll keep it very brief. I know you've got a long agenda and maybe you want to get out and catch a little daylight. It's starting to get a little nicer out there. Just a couple of announcements of activities. First of all, I would like to thank the Assembly, Mr. Woods in particular, for introducing it and assistance from the borough clerk to get the resolution supporting the City of Palmer and the MAT-MAID acquisition that you passed a couple weeks ago. I was not able to be here for that meeting, but I'm glad that you treated Mr. Owen, my representative, well, and passed that resolution on our behalf. We're actually getting ready to go to Juneau one more time tomorrow, and so that'll be helpful in that discussion to have the support of the borough. The other thing is just a couple of events coming up in April. One, on April 19th, the City of Palmer, the City of Wasilla, the City of Houston is having a sales tax seminar, so anybody that's doing business throughout the borough in any of our cities can kind of come to one-stop shopping. This is done with the Small Business Development Corporation. It is going to be in Palmer at the Palmer City Council Chambers. So that's April 19th from 9 to 11 a.m. So if you have any businesses that want to be clear, people can kind of compare and contrast the different ways that maybe the different cities handle their sales tax. But since that's such an important revenue source for us, we want to do our best to keep businesses aware of any changes. We have made a few changes within the last year in our sales tax and business licensing with the City of Palmer. And then last but not least, we are planning the project fair for April 25th. This hopefully will be thanking our legislators for any projects we get funded through the capital budget, but also as part of our process in developing our capital requests list for next year and locally prepared capital project plan. So that's Thursday, April 25th from 4 to 7 at the MTA Event Center. So with that, I thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you. And you can thank the mayor last night for mentioning not only the Bogard sewer extension and water extension, but the Bogard road extension. Is Wasilla here? Well, that's a first. What does that mean? Oh, they're down getting our money. That's what. Or they're busy working on the power lines, you know, right? The school district? Okay. I think everybody's in Juneau. There was a joint school board meeting. Who's? Assemblymember Culver?
Mr. Halter, you'd be happy to know at the Joint Assembly School Board Administration's meeting yesterday, the wood boiler agreement supposedly is ready for Mr. Moosey to sign, but I don't think they're still sold on it, so you better not let off the gas. there's a little bit of a kind of an overview of their budget. It's fairly preliminary. They forecast a $3 million increase in health care costs, but they don't have their final numbers because they haven't got their renewal notice from the NEA Trust, which supplies their health insurance. They are short, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, those of you that were there, $500,000 on transportation funding. They keep rewriting the qualifications in Juneau for busing, and every time something gets rewritten, it seems like Mattsu ends up on the short end of it. So okay. That's $500,000. And with their available revenues, and even plugging in the incremental increase that the governor has put in his budget, they have forecast that they need to cut 45 positions. But there's these unknowns yet. How much money comes from through the legislature this session, and that health care costs. But anyway, they're looking at 35 teachers and 10 classified employees. We talked about some of the legislative agenda that this district is working on. There's apparently a bill out there to require all school districts to join one healthcare provider in one market. And there's Senate Bill 57 that will provide a recalculation of the transportation funding. And I think it changes the date of non-tenured teachers to receive notice of non-retention to after when this legislative session adjourns. Now it's, I think, mid-March. That's about the gist of it. So I guess stay tuned. We're going to have to do a little bit of work on that budget and get a little more familiar with it and see what our options are once we get our revenue and expense forecast in.
Right. Assemblymember Woods, you were there.
One of the things that we ran out of time discussing budget things was I thought important, too, when I saw it, the 2013 Alaska State Olympiad competition was held on March 30th, a few days ago, in the high school division, the Mattsu Career and Technical High School. Team A took first place, second place Colony High School, third place was Eagle River High School. In the middle school division, first place, Elon Middle School, Team A. And second place, Whitstone School in Delta Junction. And third was Colony Middle School. The winning teams will represent Alaska at the national competition in May 17-18 at the Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio. And those two will be Mattsu Career and Technical School and Thielen Middle School. Hooray for our side. Thank you.
Pretty good out of the whole state. Assembly Public Relations. Mr. Manager.
Good evening. Our fish are in trouble. 7 out of 11 stocks of concern in the state area are in the Mattsu Valley. Sport fishing has plummeted to its lowest participation in 35 years in the Mattsu. However, we are very fortunate to have expertise in fisheries to go to work for us. We have a group of leaders who are advocates for our fish. Our group of 7 have taken up the cause in Juneau and before the Alaska Board of Fish. They have recently given our legislators comprehensive training on the complexities of the Cook Inlet fisheries. When our group testified, helped expand a conservation corridor, the Alaska Journal of Commerce said that they, quote, radically altered salmon management within most hotly contested fishery in the state. In 2004, they will again advocate for our fish.
In the Alaska Board of Fish meeting in Anchorage, what I'm referring to is our Borough Fish and Wildlife Commission. For their long volunteer hours and success, we'd like to honor them with frame prints from Salmon Passage by local artist Ruth Holbert. So I'd like to ask Assemblymember Jim Culver to come up front and do the presentation. We have Mr. Bruce Knowles, Chair, Mr. Larry Engel, Howard Delo, Ben Allen, Jennifer Eamon, and Andy Couch. If you all can come forward, we'd like to honor you. We really appreciate your hard work and effort. This is how a commission should work. You have expertise behind, beyond what we can move forward. And so we would like to honor you today, and thank you very much for your hard work and effort. And Fish are going to come back to the Bat-Sioux Borough, whether Juno wants it or not.
Raymond. Jennifer's like, she's like three guys, you know. She does more work than anybody. Jennifer's also the chair of the local Fish and Game Advisory Board, which serves as the main consultant. She has to put out about maybe five letters a week. There's constant email chatter, and this group is very active and been very successful. Larry Engel is a retired fisheries biologist with the Department of Fish and Game. A couple other members that aren't here, Howard Delo, he's also retired from the department. Andy is a fish guide. Jennifer is Eamon Outdoors. It's getting kids and people out doing hunting and fishing. And Bruce is also chair of the, Yenlo?
No, Sioux Valley.
Sioux Valley Advisory Committee for the Fish and Game, Department of Fish and Game. And he's probably the reason we're here, because Bruce never quits. He, no matter what obstacles in front of him, whether it's a disability or a political hurdle, his whole life is dedicated to the resources in the Matanuska Valley, and especially the Susitna Valley streams. And so I can't say enough about his leadership as our chair, and Larry Engel's expertise on fisheries. Many of you were here and heard the explanation, and that's why the commission was asked to present to the Fish and Game Budget Advisory Committee and the State Senate, concomitation State Senate, State House hearing. Larry led that that presentation. Andy, he keeps fishing even though the fish aren't coming up the rivers anymore, so he's working really hard at it. Come on a little tighter here so we can get a picture. And what we have for you all is, get it rolled in up, is a print of, maybe Patty could explain that print a little bit to us.
It's the Burroughs poster this year. It's Ruth Holbert, a local artist, who captured how fish are part of our economy, our childhood, our celebrations, and it also shows fish passage, Lonnie's favorite expression, through how a proper culvert is placed in size as opposed to improper culverts, which is a
big or small. Are we in tight enough here, Patty?
Yep, I've got a wide angle.
Got a wide angle lens.
All right, let's have a round of applause for these folks. Yeah, these are for the other folks.
Thank you.
We also have a print available for each assembly members to take home with them. This evening we have, it's a DIY frame project. We have two presentations this evening. First, we have the Mat-Sioux Day School Update.
Hold on just a second, Gary. Let me turn your mic on. You can press the red button right there. There you go.
All right. Good evening. How are you doing? I'm here to give you an update on the Mat-Sioux Day School, the 95% project, and kind of give you an update from where we were a couple months ago at the 65% level. We've taken this school, which I'll remind you is a school for some kids with some special needs, about 21,500 square feet. And we've taken this concept and we've completed the construction drawings on it. We've made finish selections. It's currently at the fire marshal office for permitting. We're working with the artists to integrate the 1% for art. We performed an energy audit on it, and it is 43% more efficient than a standard school would be, meeting code minimums. We'll be bidding it next week, or end of this week, next week, and looking for an early May bid opening. We are on budget, and we're scheduled for the project to have occupancy 1st of August in 2014. So just to kind of refresh your memory there, we've got some a school with some very durable materials on it, concrete block, cementitious siding, and metal wall panels. And the plan, other than having a lot of symbols on it, hasn't changed much from when you saw it last time. And then here we've got a couple of interior shots. The school, we've worked with the school board or the school design committee, and they've gone through and have are very excited about the design and how it will impact the lives of these kids who are going to be going to school there. And that is the presentation, and just wanted to see if you guys have any questions about where we're at.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, next, we have a presentation of Valley Pathways Design.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm John Weir with McCool Carlson Green, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Valley Pathway. We've been working on the project since August, and we've had the drawings are complete as of March. We're issuing bid sets in April, and we'll be getting under construction this summer. And we'll have fall occupancy in 2014. We've been working through designs. How's that?
That was your 3 minutes. Sorry.
Bear with me. Outstanding. No worries. So we've been working with the staff and with the borough and with the school district in various design meetings, including pretty really comprehensive reviews to make sure we get a well-coordinated set as we enter into construction. We've got educational program at Valley Pathway. It's a 7-12. We've got individual learning programs. It's a blended learning model, so we've got a lot of computer technology needs. We've got limited sort of athletics, but we do have provisions for that in the school for both gym and exercise and fitness rooms. The building highlights really are about the common areas. The media library is more like a media technology lab. The classrooms are arranged to give parity around the perimeter for good views and sunlight. We've got good supervision. We've got science grouped in the center so that we get good access on the site plan or in the floor plan. In terms of budget management, we got $17.5 million, and we've structured some ad alternates to manage the bid climate. Site plan, you can see at the top, is where the existing portables are. I think they've been there quite long enough, and we're looking forward to providing them with a new facility that will be state-of-the-art. Plan is very straightforward. We've got classrooms around the perimeter, science in the middle with library. In the center is the commons, and at the top left is the gym with admin at the front at the bottom. So we've got good security, good classroom arrangement. And this is just a rendering of the exterior. Are there any questions?
Assemblymember Colbert.
Can you go back to that site plan slide? It was about two back. Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at that. It's got a water treatment plant and underground water storage tank, 33,000 gallons.
That's correct.
What kind of cost is that added to the project for that on-site water supply?
So we originally were looking at procuring an easement through a property owner to run city water to the site, and the property owner, we couldn't reach an agreement. So we needed to back into providing a well, which we punched in a couple weeks ago. It's got good production. We have to provide a well house, and it comes up around $200,000.
And the fire suppression system with the water tank and all
so
that?
So the tank will be probably, I'd have to check my figures, Mr. Culver, but I would say it's about $80,000.
Okay, thanks. Well, the reason I asked, and for the rest of the assembly, we talked about this briefly yesterday at the Joint Assembly School Board meeting. The problem with we've run into in other schools with on-site wells is like Thielen had high arsenic content. Another well had to be drilled. There's also the maintenance and operation of this tank system for fire suppression when the city of Palmer's municipal lines are so close. So, you know, I think we ought to make another run at it from maybe a different location to run water in, because long-term maintenance costs and everything, we're much better off to be on a municipal system where possible. I realize you had time deadlines, and so this was moved forward, but if management can take another look at that, maybe you can put out some kind of an addendum to address mm-hmm. that, and maybe by the time the school's open, we could get the water, municipal water run in there. This is a very large site. Although it is a glacial moraine, it's not to say that it couldn't be used for additional public facilities if we do put water in there. And I understand this will also be used as a trailhead for the Crevice Moraine Trail as well.
That's right.
Okay, I just think it's, as far as a long-term maintenance operation cost issue, public water is far and above superior, and it will reduce your capital cost on the building because of that storage of that water tank and then the maintenance and the pumps and all that. So,
well, I think that's something we need to work out rather than our architects. But I'm sure it'll be researched, because I've been getting feedback to that effect from different people too.
Right, and we have, as I mentioned, we did go through a process of trying to procure an easement, and the borough is looking at other opportunities as they become available with adjacent properties.
Very good. Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Did I understand you correctly for occupancy fall of 2014?
That's right.
So that's a build out of 13 months?
That's right.
That's fairly aggressive.
Sioux Valley, it was a similar timeline, and the building is of a similar prototypical nature as that particular building, and we changed some of the foundation systems so that it can go together more quickly. Yep, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Is that it, Mr. Manager?
Just briefly about state activity. Right now, the Senate is debating the capital budget. We're hearing it's going to be a very thin year. However, we've had good representation. I have been there. The mayor has been there. I believe Assemblymember Culver has been there, and Assemblymember Culligan has been there. So there's been good reputation. We have our legislature in line. And so for what money is there, I certainly believe we will be successful. Also, too, the gas line is getting quite a bit of traction, and so is Kibata. So there's a possibility for both of those happening this session. So things are looking up about as much as we can hope for at this time, other than there is not a ton of money available this year.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, a question for the manager. There's $60 million in the governor's budget for statewide revenue sharing, and there's a supplemental for $25 million. did the manager have any discussion and have a sensing for what kind of traction that supplemental is getting?
It's I would say it's mixed right now. It's 50-50. Because of the limited options for money, that will really much be balanced with other capital projects that the legislature wants to do. So it's in the mix, but I would not say it's secure.
We did negotiate getting it revised back where the governor had it, which makes it much more secure as a funding source later on, and that's in the corporate tax structure of the oil legislation. Thank you, Mr. Manager. Mr. Attorney.
So, speaking of Juneau, the rail litigation is moving forward in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Our opposition brief is due in a couple of weeks, and then they'll have a reply. This is on the what we call an interlocutory appeal. It's an appeal halfway through a case of the denial of the injunction. They asked for an injunction. Trial court said no. They've appealed that ruling. In addition, next week, there's a 2007 case over a 2002 plat recording that might actually go to trial next week. It's Krauss versus Matsu, Burrow, and Christensen. If it goes to trial, I'll be trying the case, which means I'll be out of the office all week. And so if you need to get in touch with anybody in my office next week, it'll be Mr. Ashenbrenner. So, and if anybody needs more specifics of that, stop by. I've got diagrams and all the exhibits in my office right now because, barring any last-minute settlement, I kind of expect it to go to trial next week.
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wonder if the attorney is going to argue that case, if there would be an opportunity for any of us to actually watch him work.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
It's a public courtroom.
Okay.
Yeah, most public trials are public by nature. Madam Clerk.
The clerk's report is in your rent folders. Also attached to the clerk's report is the Joint Assembly School Board meeting for April 9th. And then also I had sent the Assembly an email that the Matsu Health Foundation has requested a meeting with the Assembly to get input on the community health assessment. Is this a meeting that the Assembly wanted to schedule? I know they wanted to meet with the Assembly in April or early May.
So are you asking for an opportunity to object to that?
If the Assembly wants to schedule the meeting, then we can look at a date to schedule. I wasn't sure if it was something the Assembly wanted to do or not.
It looks like there's indifference.
Okay.
So
that is all I have. We got Assembly Member Keogh down there.
Assembly Member Keogh.
I'm not indifferent, and I would like to see a meeting be scheduled.
So state the date again, Madam Clerk.
They wanted it either in April or early May. There are some dates that the Assembly already has meetings scheduled for. We could add on another meeting earlier in the day that day. We've got the April 25th meeting is a work session for departmental budget presentations. We could, if the Assembly so wished, we could schedule a 4 p.m. meeting that day.
Is there objection to that? I don't hear any, so Assemblymember Colbert.
While we're on scheduling, in our red folder, I noticed we got our proposal from the budget analyst. Did the manager have any kind of idea when we would talk about that? Could we put it on tonight at the end? Or
Mr. Manager?
Yeah, that was a plan under comments at the end to address that issue with the Assembly.
Okay, tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Assembly Member Solomon.
Can I get the clerk to repeat the date and the meeting? That's Thursday the 25th, was that right?
Thursday the 25th at 4 p.m., a meeting regarding the Matsu Health Assessment.
All right. Is that a mandatory meeting?
Is that
what?
Is it mandatory, you say?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it's doubled up with something else, isn't it?
It is.
At 5 p.m., we have departmental budget presentations.
Okay.
Just asking. Thank you. which one.
Okay. So, is that all, Madam Clerk?
That was it, Mr. Mayor. Sorry.
Very good. We have citizen and other correspondence. There's no IMs, there's no unfinished business, no veto.
That's a change.
And we're ready for persons to be heard. Madam Clerk, is there a sign-up sheet?
No, persons to be heard is something you have to sign up for in advance,
Mr. Mayor. Sorry, I was confused. Well, we've got time to get started on our public hearing. So, Ordinance 13-032.
An ordinance creating East Jensen Avenue and North Terry and Circle Natural Gas Local Improvement District Number 492, approving the improvement plan for the district, authorizing the manager to proceed with the improvement and assessing equally among the properties within the district the cost of the improvement.
Okay. And we should note, for the record, there's nobody signed up, probably because it didn't pass, but does anybody want to speak to that? Seeing and hearing none, we will close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Keel.
I move to adopt Ordinance Serial Number 13-032.
Is there discussion? There should be objection. Assemblymember Woods.
I noticed in that there were properties that the assessment was greater than 25% of the value of the properties. We discussed earlier something about withdrawing those properties. Is that, I don't think we came up to a solution, did we? It's still up in the air.
That's a policy that we postponed and we're still working on. It wouldn't have affected this.
So,
Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please? Can I?
Is there
objection if I say that it doesn't pass? There it is, Madam Clerk.
Oh.
It failed unanimously.
Okay.
So, moving to Ordinance 13039.
An ordinance appropriating $14,890,847 to fund 400 school projects for the acquisition, construction, and installation of school and related capital improvements within the borough, and $227,667 to fund 400 for related issuance costs, and appropriation of $389,153 to the school site acquisition reserve fund 100 from the proceeds of the 2013 Series A general obligation bonds.
Thank you. And we'll just note for the record that this isn't for 400 school projects, it's for fund 400. It sounded like 400 school projects. Does anybody want to speak to this? We'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt Ordinance Serial Number 13-039.
Thank you. Discussion? Objection? Hearing none, it passes. Ordinance 13-040.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $36,450 from the United States Department of Agriculture, Natural Resources Conservation Service, and $12,150 from a borough resident to fund 475 project number 20386 for the expenses associated with the relocation of a home in imminent danger by stream bank erosion.
Thank you. Again, we'll open this for public hearing. And nobody's coming forward, so we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Halter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt Ordinance Serial Number 13-040 and ask for approval, please.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Objection? Hearing none, it passes. Ordinance 13-041.
An ordinance approving an appropriation of $40,000 from the West Lakes Fire Service Area Fund Balance, Fund 249 to Fund 405, Project Number 45102, allow for the purchase of a backup and replacement generators for the West Lakes Fire Service Area, with accompanying resolution serial number 13045,
a resolution amending the budget for project number 45102 to purchase backup and replacement generators.
Thank you. Again, this is a public hearing, which we will open and close and bring it back to Assembly Member Colbert.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What is the plan?
Yeah, this is 13041.
I move ordinance serial number
13-041 and accompanying resolution 13-045.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Objection? Hearing none, that passes. Ordinance 13042.
An ordinance removing the state-owned tide lands from the Port District, MSB 18.02, with accompanying ordinance serial number 13043. An ordinance correcting MSB 17.23, the Port Special Use District Zone Legal Descriptions, with accompanying ordinance serial number 13044, an ordinance amending MSB 5.25094A to expand service area number 69, the Port McKenzie service area, to include all land in the Port District.
Thank you. Again, we'll open a public hearing. We'll give you an opportunity to speak. Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing. Bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial numbers 13042, 13043, and 13044.
Thank you. Assemblymember Culver.
Could we have a brief staff report? I'm interested in the tidelands issue.
Mr. Manager.
Yes, this is primarily a cleanup that needs to be done. When we went and established by GIS the boundaries of our port district, we were required to have a purpose to establish the tide lands, and we did not. And so this is just generically a cleanup of the language to allow us to move forward.
Assemblymember Culver.
Do we have anyone here who could answer the question whether or not we have tideland surveys, tideland leases out there? We should if we don't.
We do.
We do? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Is there objection to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, it passes. And now, ordinance 13045.
An ordinance authorizing amendment of Section 3 of the current lease by and between the Manuskasutna Borough and the Altic Manufacturing Contractors, LLC, MSB 002946.
We'll open this for public hearing. And seeing no one wishing to speak, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move ordinance serial number 13-045.
May I speak?
Assemblymember Woods, you may.
Yes, has the Port Commission commented on this? I notice they want to house employees on a temporary basis there.
Sorry, I was.
Can you please repeat? The mayor was talking to me.
Yes, I'm sorry. I messed everything up. I was checking the spelling on Aleutic.
I wondered if the Port Commission had commented on this because the in there they want to house temporary employees for a while.
Mr. Manager.
I do not believe this was sent to the Port Commission. What we're trying to do is we're reviewing our existing leases and trying to kind of clean them up as far as activity and get them into compliance and really kind of encourage them to invest and stay and use their property. But we did not take that specific issue to Port Commission. If that is something important, there is no rush to approve this tonight. If you feel that's important, we can pull this back and take it to the Port Commission and then bring this back.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to remind the body, when we adopted the port master plan about 2 years ago, the revised port master plan, we actually added language to allow temporary housing and facilities for worker camps. So I'm sure that this is consistent with the port master plan language.
Thank you. Are we ready for the question? Is there any objection? Hearing none, it passes. And now, Ordinance 13046.
An ordinance reappropriating $195,000 from Fund 480, Project Number 47507, Project Management Systems, to Fund 435, Project Number 10063, Dorothy Swanda Jones Administration Building Annex and Furnishings, Fixtures, and Equipment. With the company resolution serial number 13046, a resolution amending the scopes of work and budgets for project numbers 47507 and 10063 to supplement the funding for Dorothy Swanda Jones Administration Building Annex and for Furnishings, Fixtures, and Equipment.
Thank you. We'll open this for public hearing. And we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Woods.
I move to adopt ordinance serial numbers 13-046 and resolution serial number 13-046.
Thank you. I did, somebody at MTA today told me that they are donating a couple of DTV monitors for our new building there. Madam Clerk?
I didn't hear about the monitors, Mr. Mayor. I did know that they were going to do, I do believe, cabling for some of the monitors that we're installing.
Okay, well.
The DTV monitors would be great, too.
That's the way I heard it, but we... we'll remind them of that. You can tell them the mayor said so. So, is Assemblymember Keough?
Through the mayor to the manager, could we have a staff report, please, on the funding here? Fund 480, project number 47507, the project management system. I've asked some questions today, and I've got partial answers. But if we could have a clear understanding of exactly where these funds are coming from and where they're headed to and how they fit for the into the bigger picture of funding for the furnishings, et cetera, for the annex. Could you give us a clear explanation of how this works?
Mr. Manager?
Certainly I can. First, Fund 480, $195,000, was budgeted in a 2013 budget for project management software, primarily for public works and for our planning department. Because of the number of projects, we're not able to get that project moving with LIDAR. We're working on the credit card project and some other projects in IT, and so that project was backed up. The reason we're taking out of that is we are short funds for the construction, the whole entire project of the addition. We have money for the actual project in addition, but we did not have funding for two things, for furnishings and especially for for the monitors, for the clerk's hardware that needs to be done that we think is a very important part of this. So we have kind of scoured our budgets and kind of pulled together. We learned that from Assemblymember Culver, how to do that. And so we can go ahead and have the technology needed in a new building, and also, too, to kind of clean up some areas, because the plan was we would do the new addition, and then we have a four-year plan on moving people out of the areas, cleaning up their existing part. We have some problems with some ceilings and some asbestos. So we move somebody out of that area, clean it up, and then move a department back in. And this is really the first phase with IT moving out of their area. And then eventually the IT area will be the staging area for the displaced departments. So I know it sounds confusing, but we do have a plan.
If I could follow up with a question, please.
Yeah, you may.
So since we're transferring this $195,000, so is it to refund the project monies that we're expending earlier on a different project. This $195,000 will be added to our FY 2014 budget. Is that the plan?
Mr. Manager?
Yes.
Is that it? Assemblymember, did I see other hands? Don't see any. Assemblymember. Assemblymember, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So when we initially agreed to fund this build-out, there was a lot of discussion about the FF&E, and it was, I think, pretty clear that it was not budgeted and that it would be taken up later. But this is not all of it. This actually I see as part of the initial effort to one of the cornerstone components to building out the administration building, and that was to allow communication, better communication with residents borough-wide, and to install the electronic equipment such that we could have remote testimony and interaction with the assembly. So I see this as part of the original objective. But my question is, do we yet have an idea what the total cost will be for the FF&E that's not yet has secured funding?
Mr. Manager.
We do not. Our original plan is to use as much existing as we can. For instance, my office, we're just moving everything I have over in my office and that sort of thing. We do have, you know, part of the furnishings from the old assembly that will go to new assembly. So we do not have a number yet. We'll be putting that together for the next fiscal year. We anticipate to be in the building occupied late July, sometime in August, which will get us into the next budget cycle so we can have that discussion with the assembly.
Okay. Assemblymember Halt.
So how much is going to be in the next budget cycle? Just this exact number, 195,000 or more?
Mr. Manager.
I do not know that number yet. The $195,000 goes to the effort on putting the electronics into the assembly chambers.
Assemblymember Keel.
I'm going to go ahead and vote in support of this ordinance. However, just so it's clear, there's no assurance, with given our tightening budget and our budget work that's forthcoming, that I'll necessarily go for the $195,000 to replenish this transfer of funds.
Thank you. And I've offered that we might coast a year on some of our communication ambitions too. It doesn't all have to happen at once. But I think what we've got here, we do have to have if we want to sit on something and stuff like that. Assemblymember Culligan.
Yeah, I just want to comment. Going forward, I'm a little concerned about, I didn't vote for the new building because we have plenty of other priorities that we're going to be competing for this next year. But that being so, this building needs to be plumbed for all of the technology and stuff now, wired and the like. And it's important that we get that at least that portion done, and we can arm wrestle later over the equipment and stuff that we stage in there through the budget cycle, and I'm really looking forward to having that discussion under budget and what other technology projects we've funded that are sitting out there. So with that, I am going to support this, but I think it's important that we support the construction, we support the build-out of the infrastructure that will supply and power all the technology that we need. And I'm not sure where we're at with our new phone system that we have also budgeted out there, and I hope we competitively bid these projects. So thank you.
Assemblymember Colbert.
Yeah, this funding that we're transferring accounts on is software funding, and I think that's one of the most areas in our budgets that I've seen that are troubling. We had, we're going to have the greatest thing since sliced bread, a new program to run the assessments, put out the tax notices, you know. Well, Lazy Mountain shot up about 150%, and the thing didn't work for a few years, and I'm not still sure. What is it, the Ali'i or something like that? So, Mr. Manager, I think when you department heads or your IT department, they want a new fancy software or a license that we're going to commit ourselves, whether it be GIS or a Microsoft product, I think we need to have a work session or a committee of the whole and have a thorough vetting and get some second opinions on these things, because I think you can really walk down some expensive pathways that don't necessarily give you the results that you want. The only one here on this board that's really qualified to do any analysis of that is Mr. Colligan. In the past, we've kind of taken the word for it from departments, and I'll give you an example. Try to use our My Property system on our website. It's down. It's been down for a long time. We were told that with the, and I'll be brief, Mr. Mayor, I just want to make this point that we need, collectively, we need good, sound advice and procurement oversight of technology buys. We were told this LIDAR was another product that's going to be best thing since sliced bread, and I'm being told that it's you have to have all kind of software skills and software support once you do acquire the data to use it. So we're not there yet. So maybe in your budget cycle, that would be an appropriate topic for us to have that discussion, collate some of those asks and wants, and let's start the vet of those. Thanks.
Okay, is that it, Assembly Member Colligan?
Well, since it came up, I did want to remind everybody, we had this discussion last budget year, and I am pleased with some strides that the administration and IT have made, and both the manager and the deputy manager, specifically with LIDAR and stuff. It's data, and we need data to drive some decision-making. And it does require systems, and I am concerned about the web map stuff being down. But those are areas where, rather than staffing up internally this next budget cycle, that's where we need an expert 5% of the time or something, contract it out, allow our staff to grow and learn, and get the dang thing done and up and running. But, you know, there's an old term, used to be GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. And with your new cell phone and all the new technology and all the cool toys you can buy, it's still GIGO, but it's garbage in, gospel out.
Yeah, we really are off that, target here.
With that, I'd call for the, let's take the vote and move ahead and take this up under budget, but thank you.
Okay, the question's been called for, and is there objection to the motion? There is none. So we are finished, and that passes unanimously. We will take our 10-minute break and come back for audience participation. Ms. Jennifer Harrison signed up, followed by Jessica Windstopper.
One is just as a regular citizen. The first one I wanted to say was thank you to Mary DeVilbiss for coming to our Choose Respect event in Sutton. It was a really big event for Sutton, and we appreciated you coming. The second item that I wanted to bring up is on a personal note. I haven't been to very many of your meetings, even though I've wanted to be, because I've been working on a master's degree in public administration. And my project is looking at high schools in the state of Alaska that are doing, where Alaska Native students are doing academically well, and focusing on the top 20% and figuring out what they're doing differently. So you focus on, it's called positive deviance theory, instead of focusing on dropout rates and the negatives. Anyway, I was pleasantly surprised to find that the Matsu Borough schools, high schools, a lot of them are in my top 20%. They include Colony, Houston, Matsu Career and Tech Ed High School, Palmer High School, Twindley Bridge Charter School, Valley Pathways, which is a lot of your high schools. For a comparison, the only ones that made it into my top 20% in Anchorage were Polaris and South Anchorage. So at least for Alaska Native students, the Valley is doing very well, and so I just wanted to say kudos. I'm not sure if my client for my project is Bristol Askins Institute. I'm not sure how much further they're going to go with this research, but the idea is that you would go and visit the schools and find out what they're doing well. And so I just wanted to share that kind of preliminary good news that the Massey School District is doing very well for Alaska Native students. Thank you.
Thank you. And I learned another new word, positive deviance. We usually hear about the other kind of deviance. Jessica, followed by Brian.
Good evening. My name is Jessica Winstaffer. Do you want me to spell that?
Doesn't no,
matter.
No, okay. The clerk does not require that.
Okay.
I'm amazed.
I work for Chicolin Village Traditional Council, and hereafter I'm going to call it just Chicolin Village. It's the tribal government of Chicolin Native Village, a federally recognized Alaska Native tribe. And I'm here today to speak about Resolution 13050. Chicolin Village opposes House Bill 77 and State Senate Bill 26 as drafted and urges the Borough Assembly to pass Resolution 13-050 opposing these flawed state bills. I had the borough clerk pass out some photos, and so as I give the presentation and as Brian speaks after me, we'll refer to the photos kind of in chronological order. Chicolin Village's traditional territory encompasses the Matanuska River and its tributaries, including Moose Creek. For centuries, Chicolin Village has regarded Moose Creek as one of the most important tributaries of the Matanuska River. Moose Creek historically had abundant salmon runs and was known to have all five species of Alaska's Pacific salmon. Though the populations of salmon have decreased significantly within the last 100 years, which I will explain further in a moment, Moose Creek is still known to have impressively large-bodied Chinook salmon, and that is the first photo in the photo packet. This is a Chinook salmon near the mouth of Moose Creek, taken in 2007. Chicolin Village has relied on Moose Creek salmon for sustenance, cultural renewal, and spiritual connection. In the 1920s, coal mines and railroads straightened and diked Moose Creek for industrial developments. By the 1970s, waterfalls had formed along Moose Creek due to the straightening, and one large waterfall was completely impassable to salmon. And that is the photo, the second photo. On the far right, left, excuse me, of that photo, you can see a person, and that person is 6'2". This is at a higher water level condition on the creek. This man-made waterfall limited the salmon spawning and rearing habitats to the lower 3 miles of Moose Creek. Between 2005 and 2007, Chicolin Village conducted the award-winning Moose Creek Fish Passage Restoration Project to restore fish access around these waterfall barriers. The project was funded by grants from numerous sources, including the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, NOAA, and ConocoPhillips Alaska. In several places along Moose Creek, Chicolin Village realigned the creek into its historic pre-mining location, returning the natural bends to the creek and bypassing the impassable waterfalls. And the second page shows the photos of a before and after. The photo on the left is before our restoration project, and pretty much dead center in that photo there's a white patch, and that's the large...
Yeah, wrap it up.
Oh. Okay. Well, immediately after recreating the stream channel around the largest waterfall, Chinook salmon were photographed. That's the next page, swimming upstream to habitats they hadn't utilized in generations. Alaskans deserve the right to legally restore and protect salmon habitats, and House Bill 77 and Senate Bill 26 will take away existing rights of Alaskans to protect in-stream flows. This is why Chicolin Village urges the Borough Assembly to pass 13-050 opposing these flawed state bills. Moose Creek history will continue with the next speaker.
Thank you. Is there a connection here?
What photo did you leave off with?
Well, we were in the water above the falls.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. Brian Winstaffer with Chickaloon Village. Worked in the Environmental Department, also was on the Mayor's Blue Ribbon Sportsman's Committee, which changed names since then. I'll continue with the history. Between 2007 and 2010, Chickaloon Village conducted Chinook salmon population enhancement activities on Moose Creek to help jumpstart the restoration of the upstream juvenile salmon population. We netted adult salmon near the mouth of Moose Creek, collected and fertilized the eggs, reared the eggs in a moist air incubator in our office laboratory, or laboratory, and released the eggs just before hatching into the upper reaches of Moose Creek. You can see the photos there of the fertilized Chinook eggs for moist air incubation. Jessica's holding a bag of them there that have been fertilized. There's a female Chinook salmon being prepped for taking of the eggs, and if you turn the page, you'll see some eyed eggs that came from the incubator before they were put into the stream, which is the photo below, is the setup we used to put the eggs back into the stream. In 2007, we hired USGS to gauge Moose Creek stream flow in an effort to collect data necessary for submitting an in-stream flow reservation of water for fish and wildlife. With funding support from USGS, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, ADF&G, and BIA, gauge data on Moose Creek has been collected. There's a photo of a gauge that's on Moose Creek on the next page. That's actually after the 2012 flood, which ripped out the data sensor. In 2009, we submitted an application for state in-stream flow reservation for fish and wildlife because we wanted to ensure that there would always be enough water for fish in Moose Creek. We spent close to $200,000 in gauging costs and staff time to compile the data and fill out the state in-stream flow reservation application. Moose Creek salmon are a precious piece of the tribe's history and are still revered and honored by tribal citizens and other Alaskans alike. We want to be sure they will continue to thrive in Moose Creek for future generations of people. It is for these reasons that Chickaloon Village took on the responsibility of restoring Moose Creek and applying for the water reservation when no one else did. Salmon have innumerable threats and obstacles to their survival, including changes in ocean temperature, pH, warming stream temperatures, extensive ocean fishing, loss of healthy stream habitats, and more. Protecting natural in-stream flows is one of the ways, is one way we Alaskan citizens can undeniably help salmon. The next photo is kind of fun. It's in Moose Creek, a couple miles upstream. You can see quite a few kings in there, and you can see how low the flow of water is right there, and you can imagine if you took some more out of there, how much more difficult it might be. I can go on to say that we oppose, or we urge the Assembly to pass Resolution 13-050, opposing the flawed state bills. I have 28 seconds left. Something else to think about, when you're dealing with flows in water, if you start changing flows in streams, you start changing the genetics of the streams. The flows have moved certain size substrate, and if you change the size of the substrate that's being moved by lessening the flows, you're going to change the type of fish that can use that area. If you get rid of the flood-forming flows, the flows that cause the stream substrate to get up and move, can't keep talking, darn, Professor.
No, just wrap it up.
Okay. All I was trying to say is, I mean, just think about it. If you start messing with the flows of Mother Nature, you're going to start messing with the genetics that's already been there. If you take away the fact that you have substrate moving through by reducing the flows in there, you're not going to have the substrate coming in that salmon can come and use to dig their reds later. It has to do with the size of the cobble that comes in and how impacted that material is. It gets filled with fines. The more the hydrology pounds on it, the harder it gets. You've walked on streams where it's been nice and loose. Salmon can dig that up pretty easily. You walked on streams where it's like a solid piece of concrete. That's something that hasn't moved for a while. It's been filled in with fines and sediments. You want those flows to push them through.
We got the point. Could you answer our question for me? Do you know how many Chinooks were in there last summer?
A little over 200, not as much as we were hoping, but it was mimicked what we've seen for less numbers in the valley itself. So.
Okay, because there were a lot less in Wolverine Creek last summer.
Yep.
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Colbert.
Thank you. Brian, a question. So your current application, or the one you had pending for water reservation, a stream flow, is that under the statute as a person? It was probably under the name of the tribe or the council, right?
It's under the tribe. We'd worked with the state fish and game trying to figure out on different reservations who would take what. This one was taken by the tribe. Fish and game's taken some other ones for fish and wildlife. And I think I mentioned there, it hasn't been adjudicated yet. That's where this bill issue comes in.
Okay.
It's just been, we've got our 5 years.
So you're standing as to be as a person, not as a governmental entity. They don't recognize the tribe, so they don't,
it's not
a government to government or an agency reservation.
We'd like it to go that way. dealing with the state and sovereignty, as you probably know,
yeah,
is not an easy
thing.
A
whole different issue, but I'm just curious. So if this statutory change would happen, your application would be moot and you would have no standing to apply for water rights to continue this conservation effort?
We could exercise our rights to talk to the feds and see what kind of recourse we could
come
with.
Oh, we don't
there.
Want the feds in our state, but...
Well, that's why we'd like to see this.
If you, what have your lawyers told you if this passed? What would your ability to secure the water rights for this conservation project?
Well, from what I read in this bill, any water rights that haven't been adjudicated yet are given back to the person who filed for it with their filing fee, $1,500 for this one in case, and that's it. So we lose out on the $200,000 we put towards it, all the different governmental agencies that put money towards this. It was a waste of time. We collected data. We got some flood flows, but...
So at a minimum, it would be a hold harmless for all pending applications, right?
Yeah, Assemblymember Culver. Yeah, it's not a workshop. Assemblymember Culligan, I guess everybody gets one question.
Just one curiosity. Have you guys presented in front of the legislature or the governor your concerns in testimony for this bill?
Did you guys call in yet?
Tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
There are Mr. Lackey is here to speak.
Good evening, Assembly, Borough Mayor. My name is Mark Lackey. I am the Executive Director of CCS Early Learning. I've been in that role since 2005, and I've been with the agency since 1999. I'm here to talk to you about Resolution 13-089. Our agency, our board of directors actually started in 2010 a strategic planning process, kind of seeing the writing on the wall that funding for our services and our programs was going to be flat in a best case scenario. It was probably going to be reduced over a period of years. We're primarily funded through federal grants, and our board very conservatively looked ahead and saw that there were going to be some challenges there. So one of the primary areas we saw that we could potentially save some money in our operating costs was to do everything we could to eliminate or reduce our facility costs. Here in Palmer, we have two facilities that we currently lease, our admin office and our Palmer Head Start Center, which we lease from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That Palmer Center is above the Seventh-day Adventist school, and they're expanding their school. And so our lease, we need to vacate our lease after the 13-14 school year. So this project aims to bring those two facilities together under one roof here in Palmer. We've found a piece of property that we think is suitable. We've been enrolled in the Foraker pre-development program, so we've had a project manager. Engineers from USKH have helped us get to where we are today. We're asking the state of Alaska for a $4 million increment to get us started here. We have good support locally from the Matsu Health Foundation and Rasmussen. They've indicated support. They haven't awarded that yet. The resolution before you tonight asks for your support in a resolution for this. We're not asking for any funding for this facility. Just a little bit of a minute's worth of background about our agency. We've been providing services in Chugach and Eagle River and in the Mat-Su for over 40 years. We employ 81 individuals. We have another 15, 16 contractors. We have a significant economic impact here in our valley employing that many people. Our services are provided primarily to low-income children under the age of 5 and their families. 90%, again, federal program, federal rules, 90% of the kids we serve have to be under 100% of poverty. Children that are foster children are categorically eligible. Homeless children are categorically eligible. 10% of the slots that we have are set aside for children that have a diagnosed disability. I believe that's my time, and so I appreciate your half.
Thank you. And what's the youngest age you take?
We serve children from birth all the way up to age 5. Primarily with those really young kids, we're working more with their parents, but we are helping those parents to realize, even those young children, you know, if they have a delay, catching that as early as we can help that child and help that family.
Thank you. Nobody else signed up? Is anybody else wanting the last word? Don't see anybody. So we'll bring it back. Madam Clerk, would you read what's left of the consent agenda?
I sure will, Mr. Mayor. Resolution Serial Number 13047, a resolution approving an amended scope of work to allow the use of funds to include Construction Inspector 2, Temporary On-Call for Fish and Wildlife Passage Project Management, Project Number 30093, AM 13046, awarded bid number 13087B to Swalling Construction Company Incorporated, and the contract amount of $374,295,000 for Cottonwood Creek Bridge replacement in Earl Drive. AM number 13047, approval of contract modification number 2 to contract number 12-124 with Earhart Roofing Company Incorporated, and the amount of $50,731.50 for additional work on the school district administrative building roof repair replacement project number 40177, AM number 13048, awarded bid number 13097B to Tutka, LLC, and the contract amount of $137,404 for Harriet Street reconstruction, AM number 13049, awarded proposal number 13067P to Wolf Architecture Incorporated for a contract amount of $3,635,499 for the Kinnick Area Middle High School design. AM number 13050, authorization to sole source the procurement of crack sealant from Alaska Sure Seal in an amount not to exceed $180,500.
Thank you. Is there objection to the consent agenda? Oh, yeah, let's move it first. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
And now is there objection? Assemblymember Culligan.
I did have one question on 13047, the construction inspector 2. In our packet, it describes an amended scope of work but doesn't provide the amended scope of work. I was wondering if there's any description of that.
Mr. Manager. That's 13047 AM?
Yeah. What is it?
Here comes Hop Along.
Mr. Mayor, to Assemblymember Culligan, I'm Sean O'Neill, the civil engineer, the borough's public works director. The original scope of work for the project did not include the wages and benefits for the inspector, and so we're amending the scope of work to include that position. It's been approved by the Fish and Wildlife Service, but we just need to run it past you guys before we actually use the money to hire the person to do the work.
Is this an intern coordinator, or what? What is the?
It's a person that will be out in the field monitoring the work on our behalf. So it's a construction inspector, and we're hoping to be able to use a college intern to do the actual work as opposed to a civil engineer.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Sean.
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. So are you seconding that person from the agency, or are you hiring them directly, or is it contract labor?
We'll be hiring directly. It would be a 1,000-hour on-call employee.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, now is there any objection? Hearing none, the consent part of the consent agenda is done.
Mr. Mayor, can I make one comment, if I could, please? I guess I just want to point out that I think it might be a little ambitious for the administration to bring a $3.5 million award to the table for architecture services on the consent agenda. That's a pretty large bite at the apple. Nobody pulled it, but I would recommend maybe in the future that hold its own place on the agenda.
Okay, you're suggesting a public hearing?
I would, Mr. Mayor. Uh-huh. I think there should be an opportunity for the public to speak to acquisition of that size.
Thank you. So we move now to
Resolution 13049, Madam Clerk.
A resolution supporting a new Palmer Head Start and administration facility for CCS early learning.
Okay, we'll bring that back to Assemblymember Culver.
You, I pulled it, but I'm going to yield to a member Keogh because he sponsored it. I kind of always feel uncomfortable as the one pulling it to talk about it, and I'm going to hand it off to him.
Well, you want him to move it, too?
I want him to move it. I don't think we're stuck with that procedure. If you pull it, you got to move it. I think that member could then say I yield.
Well, it just wastes a bunch of time, is all. Assemblymember Keogh.
Well, I'm happy to move resolution serial number 13-049, and this is really relatively simple, straightforward, a resolution supporting CCS endeavors for a head start, and I guess I would like to see us join the others who already have letters of support in the packet. They include the Matsu Health Foundation, the United Way, Matsu Borough School District, the Palmer Chamber of Commerce, the State Division of Department of Health and Human Services. So I would ask for unanimous consent to this resolution of support.
Assemblymember Solomon.
I'd like to know why Mr. Culver pulled it.
Okay, I'll talk. If you remember, you got an email from the manager about, I don't know, a week or two ago, and it was a copy of a letter to finance members in the legislature or our legislators. There's some confusion right now on what the borough priorities are. And the letter clarified that the borough's capital project request priorities are the borough's list. There is confusion now with all these different nonprofits that the assembly has supported in the mix. What is it our priority? So I'd like to support the project, but I don't know that this is the venue to throw more resolutions in the mix. So I think I'm going to be very careful about where I'm going to support these kinds of asks for the future, because we're running into some issues procedurally with our project requests. So I'm sorry, Mr. Lackey, but we've run into an issue on the supporting different projects and what we're trying to accomplish with our borough capital projects improvements, and they're being played off each other. So that's the reason I pulled it. Thank you.
Thank you. And
I'd like to call the question,
okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Question's been called. If there's no objection, we will we'll close debate. And if there's no objection, we'll pass it. Is there any objection? Okay, there is objection. Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter. Yes. Assemblymember Keogh.
Yes.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Culver opposed.
Okay, we get through a little bit more of our consent agenda. Resolution 13-050.
A resolution opposing House Bill 77 and Senate Bill 26, which eliminates the ability of a person to obtain an in-stream flow reservation.
Assemblymember Woods.
I move to pass resolution serial number 13-050, and I am number 13-090.
Do you want to speak to it? Well, we would hope you want to speak to it since you pulled it.
Yes, I do. There's a position in there where properties can be asked for and through an agency of the state, which would include the borough. If someone wanted to do that, we as the borough or a state unit, they would then apply for that to the proper state regulation for that person.
being joined. So I pulled this because I think to try to change it or to offer changes at this time in the legislative session will not be worked on anyway. So if it's something that, if they do pass it, which is possible, I guess, why amendments are always another solution. Thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Culligan.
So I'm going to speak in opposition. I'm not going to vote for this, but on the other hand, I do believe that the merits that Mr. Keogh brought forward have merit, and I do have concerns about the bill. As a board member of a sportsman's group that is addressing those issues directly with the governor and the legislature, and knowing that the folks that testified haven't testified in front of the body that makes the decision, this bill is about streamlining permitting and the like. A lot of it can be used or misused. I'm supporting the issue of streamlining permitting, but as a board member of two different sportsmen's groups, also concerned and individually addressing those issues with the governor directly and with the legislature to amend or at the commissioner level make the adjustments for the water rights and in-stream flows. There's plenty of other issues besides the in-stream flows, things such as not all the streams have been inventoried for in-stream flow that I don't think it's worth going into tonight. But in general, I'm speaking in opposition, but I do believe that some of the concerns have merit, and I would ask that all the sportsmen in the valley and the individuals and the tribal people that have concern go testify. But as far as the borough goes, and in my voice, I don't believe I'm not going to support it. But you know, and I'll leave it at that. But I just believe that some of the concerns are portions of the bill, but the bill is about permitting and streamlined permitting. These have been addressed with the governor, I know, last week, and I know they've been heard. They've been identified by the department. And our own Fish and Wildlife game, Mr. Keogh, took it to them, and they did not take it up. They did not make it a priority for us. And I don't believe that at this point we should make it a priority, even though it's being about fish. It's about permitting.
Assemblymember Colbert.
I have a primary amendment. I want to amend the therefore be it resolved clause to read, instead of opposing, it will read, now therefore be it resolved, the Matanuska Susitna Borough Assembly requests that House Bill 77 and Senate Bill 26 be amended to provide for a water reservation for salmon habitat and to process existing valid water reservation applications.
Okay, there's an amendment on the floor for a change of title. Is that going
to
be?
Title. Well, we'd have to change the title if it's opposition to amend.
Okay. Assemblymember Halter to the amendment.
Well, I'm going to support Mr. Culver's amendment, no doubt about that, but I firmly believe that a riparian property owner abutting the stream should have the rights to the stream flow. That's a fundamental riparian law, water right law, yeah. And I just can't see where it should be taken away from, and especially by a government unit. And so I don't like, and you can streamline things down in Juneau, but this is not the way to do it.
Hydro.
Okay. Assemblymember Keogh, do you want to speak to the amendment?
Yeah, I'll speak to the amendment. I'm not sure this is the best way. I mean, I'm okay with amending it, and I understand Assemblymember Culver's intent.
Well, please speak just to the amendment right now.
Is it going anywhere? As Mr. Culligan stated, this is a many-faceted bill, both House Bill 77 and Senate Bill 26. The significant component of this, and my concern, has to do with the significant tweak that excludes applicants such as the Chicoutimi Village Traditional Council to lose their...
Are you speaking for or against the amendment?
I'll speak in favor of the amendment, though in my opinion, it's probably not the best way to tackle this. But if we can limit it or restrict it to in-stream flow, that portion of the bills that affect in-stream flow reservations, I'll support it.
Thank you.
Just a point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Your point?
Is that title, the change opposing to regarding, so the Mat-Su Borough Assembly, instead of the opposing regarding House bill would read, I gave it away to the clerk. So what's the title?
Well, are we on a second amendment now?
No, it just needed to, it was a housekeeping measure to include in that amendment. A resolution regarding House Bill 77 and Senate Bill 26, which would replace, regarding would replace opposing in the title to match up with the amendment.
Okay. Is that okay, Madam Clerk?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. So, Madam Clerk, would you review everything we're doing right now on the amendment?
What's in front of the Assembly is to change the now therefore be it resolved clause to read, the Manuscasinta Borough Assembly requests that House Bill 77 and Senate Bill 26, and I'm sorry I can't read that word, Assembly Member Culver, be amended to provide for a water reservation for salmon habitat and to proceed
process
existing valid water reservation
applications.
Thank you.
Okay.
And it would also change the amendment, or the, excuse me, the title from opposing to regarding the House bill and Senate bill.
Okay, on the amendment, are we ready for the question? I've heard objections, so Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Keough and Culver in favor.
It passed.
It failed, excuse me.
I was going to say,
sorry.
That's quite a way to pass. Okay. It failed. Okay, we're back to the main motion. And Assemblymember Halter,
well,
followed by Assemblymember Woods.
I favor the main motion, which is to oppose these two Senate bills because they're fundamentally flawed. I still believe that a person that abutting the stream has riparian rights. It's a property right, and it shouldn't be altered by a government unit, and a person should be able to protect that stream flow. And if these two bills down there are going to change that, I think they're flawed bills. They need to be rewritten.
Assemblymember Keough.
Thank you. I'd just like to take a moment to explain what we have before us here. We were given a presentation of one example in the borough, and it happens to be in my district, of an in-stream flow application that was made by the Chicoloon Village Traditional Council after the expenditure of hundreds of thousands of dollars, years' worth of collecting hydrologic data with the cooperation of several state and federal agencies. What is an in-stream flow reservation? It's a kind of water right. And the state of Alaska and the DNR specifically is the one that manages all surface water and groundwater in Alaska. So most water rights, and traditionally water rights, regard diversionary water rights for a beneficial use. When you take water out of a stream, for example, to put to use for purposes of irrigation, industrial work, or otherwise, Alaska is unique and has learned a lesson that all other states in the lower 48 didn't learn, and that is if you don't set aside a minimum amount of water in stream, if you don't reserve that water so it's not taken out of a stream, it's a guarantee that that water will be there forever. In this case, specific to ensure there's enough water for the passage of fish, particularly salmon, for the purposes of passage, migration, habitat maintenance, and spawning, and rearing. So what Senate Bill 26 and House Bill 77 does, it eliminates a person from applying for or receiving a reservation of water for the purposes of protecting water habitat for salmon fisheries, which is one of our biggest priorities of our borough here in the last in this past year. We raised it to a huge priority. So what this does is eliminates an individual's right to apply, a non-governmental organization's right to apply, a corporation, a tribe. These folks, not only are they precluded from future applications, all present applications go in the dumpster. They're gone. So this is, as Assemblymember Halter said, this is a fundamental flaw in both of these bills. I guess I'll leave it at that. And to me, this is a no-brainer. And where this leads is if we don't manage our waters well in the future, we'll find ourselves like other states where waters in streams are over-appropriated, where there are more demands on the stream than water is available in a stream. And fish don't work without water. So let's be a little far-sighted here. Let's give a little guidance to the state legislature, and let's suggest that this bill not happen, as it affects our very good Water Use Act that exists in Alaska. Thank you.
Assemblymember Keough, would you answer a question, please? Because you keep talking about water right reservations, and I can't believe that the state's taking away the ability for an individual to have a water right use. And that's what Assemblymember Halter is talking about. These bills would not take that away.
That's correct. If you have a water right for purposes of withdrawal, for irrigation, for example, on your farm, this bill does not affect that at all. This bill affects leaving the right to reserve water in the stream for purposes, in this instance and other instances, the primary instance, of maintaining enough water in the stream for purposes of maintaining a healthy fish population.
And you think an individual should be able to make that decision?
I believe any individual should have and currently does have the opportunity to apply if they come up with 5 years of hydrologic data. And it's not taking all the water. Typically, the way this works when you apply for an in-stream flow reservation, for example, it's broken out periodically after a hydrograph is established and after you look at the needs of whatever species or species of salmon you're trying to protect. So, for example, a reservation in Moose Creek might only include 10% or 20% of the stream flow during the summer months. In the winter months, when flow is reduced, the reservation might be for 40%. So it varies from stream to stream. It varies on the species you're trying to protect. And it does not preclude other folks from applying for a diversionary water right to take water out. Or as a matter of fact, if other people have senior water rights to withdraw water, the in-stream flow reservation is a junior reservation, a junior water right. I can talk about this ad nauseum if you wish.
Well, I realize that, but I wanted to make clear that we understood what was going on here, because this does not affect what Assemblymember Halter was talking about. Assemblymember Halter.
Well, I guess, you know, an upstream user could alter a downstream user, and if you had an individual with a lodge on the Yetna River and their flow has changed, and, of course, they're making their business off salmon or any other thing like that, it certainly does apply, and that would be the worry. And they should have the right to apply for that conservation easement, just like anybody else should. I don't understand why a government should be able to apply for a water reservation when an individual is living right on the water source. That's my point.
Okay, my apologies. Assemblymember Woods, I passed over you two times.
I think that it ignores the question that the state owns the water rights for navigable water, and that this does not preclude anybody from applying to the proper state organizations such as Fish and Game for to do what they want with that stream. And for that reason, I'm going to vote no on the amendment.
We no longer have an amendment. We have the main motion. Assemblymember Culver.
Well, this is kind of a Christmas tree bill. There's a lot of things in it besides this water reservation that are good, allowing people to buy land fee simple instead of by contract from the state. Other things are in here. It's kind of an omnibus DNR bill. My question is, what, in reading the sponsor statement, the briefing, the white paper here, the persons that are applying, the 438 pending applications, are minors. So the minors are applying for water to be taken out of tributaries to use for mining purposes, so therefore the stream flow would be reduced. And that appears to be a main thrust of the concern of this bill, is to address the pending applications and the that minors are considered persons under this legislation, under the existing code, and I think that that's been identified as being problematic to maintain in-stream flow. My question is, how does this affect, as Mr. Halter had said, riparian owners who may want to have a hydro system? Would it affect, how would they get their permit? Are they permitted under the persons?
I can answer that.
Okay, go ahead.
Under the existing system, the assumption is there's at least two or three fish agencies that are reviewing all of these permits when you're applying for a permit to withdraw water. And the assumption has always been that the state, and my experience on Wolverine Creek has been that they would never let you draw below a point where the fish couldn't pass. And I think the state would like to maintain the ability to have that power rather than letting every Tom, Dick, and Harry do it. And because I can, well, I'm not going to expand on how it could be abused if just everybody was reserving water. Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I guess the logical final conclusion would be, if a lodge owner on the Yentna was at risk for losing their fishery because the water was drawn down, is it true that, and I think it is, that there are state agencies that would prevent that drawdown from occurring? And I guess if I could, I know it might be a little out of sorts, but if I could ask Mr. Keel that question, I know he's I would consider him to be a subject matter expert on this topic, and I'm not sure that that's a logical conclusion.
Assemblymember Keel.
Well, I'm not sure about the logical conclusion you referenced, but...
to clarify that... A state agency would allow the water in a river to be drawn down to the point whereby fish could not pass on an application for water usage.
I think a good example, and I don't know, but I strongly suspect the motivation for this legislation comes from the Department of Natural Resources. So you're talking about state agencies. One state agency's mission, amongst others, is to protect fish. That would be ADF&G. The Department of Natural Resources, on the other hand, is that state department that manages water and water rights and the adjudication of in-stream flow reservations. So I think, but I'm not sure, that one of the reasons this thing is brought forward comes out of the Chewitna project and the Pebble Mine project. And I would suggest that the Department of Natural Resources and ADF&G are not on the same page on this issue. For example, in the Chewitna project, it's the intent of the operator, I think with the concurrence of DNR, to dewater the middle fork of the Chewitna River, which is an anadromous stream, which is a large salmon fish return. And my sense is that the DNR is inclined to go ahead and allow this dewatering, a complete dewatering of the stream, as in zero flow, with the understanding that the stream would be rebuilt and would be as good as new and then replaced some 30 or 40 years later after a mining event. And then there's the other associated issues, too, with the Pebble project. But so your premise that I think your premise is not quite accurate that state laws would prevent the total dewatering of streams, doing away with habitat. And I would like to follow up with a couple comments. There's been a bit of erroneous statements here. One regards water rights and navigable waters. This has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with water rights on navigable waters. It has nothing to do with it. Also, the comment was made that the state owns the waters. The state does not own the waters. They are the manager of all waters within the state, however. They manage waters, whether they be on private property, state lands, or federal lands. And finally, there was a reference made to 438 applications. These are pending and outstanding in-stream flow reservations and applications that have not been adjudicated by the Department of Natural Resources. It's a very slow process. So there's just a few corrections there. The 438 applications were not made by miners.
Okay, Assemblymember Culligan is next, and then Assemblymember Solomon.
Well, again, I support everybody calling their legislator and the governor and testifying on behalf, but I speak in opposition to this, and I'm ready to vote. Thank you.
Assemblymember Solomon, was that your...
Well, my point would be that I've listened enough to be so totally confused that I'm pretty sure that nobody at this table really knows exactly what they're talking about, logically or illogically, and I certainly am ready to vote. Thank you.
Speak for yourself. So I've heard the call for the question. If there's no objection, we'll close debate. And there is objection to the motion, so Madam Clerk, call the roll.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Solomon.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the motion fails with Assemblymember Halter and Keough in support.
Thank you. Resolution 13-051.
The resolution supporting House Bill 79 and Senate Bill 28 establishing the Susitna State Forest.
Thank you. Assemblymember, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
I move.
It's moved. And I would just... I point out there's a couple of additions to this that are pretty significant that weren't in it before, and one is requesting larger tracts for lease and over longer periods of time. We've had that request from the industry. The other one that's more significant is dealing with what's perceived of as just a lockup of public land, and so we suggested there in that long whereas the possibility of there being an escape clause in the legislation for either reclassification or transfer later, or we suggested the possibility, and this actually had some interest when I suggested it down in Juneau, was just transferring it, the Susitna Forest, to the borough to manage under our forest management program. So those are two significant differences over what was there before. Assemblymember Culligan.
So just a quick comment. You know, I voted in opposition to this last time, and I voted in opposition last year because it hadn't been that well vetted through the community. And last time I opposed it because the city of Houston stepped forward and testified that they hadn't that been contacted or discussed, at least formally as a body, and I'm just wondering, I am supportive, but I just want to make sure that, especially with them, that it's been vetted, and do we have knowledge of that, and then proceed. Thank you.
We have a resolution of support from Houston.
In that case, I will be supporting it. Thank you.
Assemblymember Colbert.
Ms. Mayor, you spoke about amendments to the bill to transfer the state forest or management of the forest to the borough. Or is that in a bill, or has he got language in this resolution?
That's not in a bill yet, but this gives our legislators some freedom to play with that.
Do we have amendments, or do we have language in our resolution?
The resolution includes that. Yeah, it opens that door wide open.
Mayor.
It's not binding, of course. It's just a resolution. It's the last whereas before.
Is this bill going anywhere, you think, this session, or what, 12 days left?
Well, it's been hung up, but my hope is that this language will get it off dead center, and I think it might.
Okay. Would you just read that to us so we can be clear on what your language you're recommending?
I can.
Appreciate that.
It says, whereas, as currently portrayed, the Susitna State Forest is perceived by the public as a lockdown of public resources, and the Mat-Su Borough Assembly would either solicit an exit clause that allowed for future reclassification or transfer, or would tentatively suggest transferring ownership and management of the Susitna Forest into the Mat-Su Borough's inventory of forest lands. Assemblymember Woods, you were next.
Thank you. When we got our presentation of our population explosion, as it were, as we go ahead with our program to expand the port and that area with all the propositions people coming into the borough at greater numbers and the explosion of 250 some thousand expected in within the lifetime of most people, and that they estimated that if we would provide the roads, why the population would move up along the west, the east side of the Parks Highway up toward Talkeetna. But this resolution takes away that opportunity unless by accident the legislature would approve this amendment that you offer, because what's in this motion includes all the properties clear down to Houston along the east side of the Parks Highway, and for that reason I'm going to oppose this. Thank you.
Thank you. We're ready for the question. No, Assemblymember Halter.
Well, I think I've always supported the state forest. I think it's good forest management. It's pretty interesting that in one instance, just a few minutes ago, we were fully willing to trust DNR managing water flow, and all of a sudden we aren't fully willing to trust them to manage our forest lands. Now, if you're going to have a viable forest, I think you got to give DNR the opportunity to manage it. And this is the state foresters, all the loggers I've ever talked to, this is the best way to manage it. I guess having settlement land, if there was something defined, a certain percentage of it, but to have it all cut and then go to settlement, you're not preserving your forest and you're not managing it correctly for the future. And I guess that's what I'm a little skeptical about this. And if we're going to trust the state and DNR and Fish and Game to manage water flow, I think we certainly ought to trust them to manage our forests, because they've done a good job. And this is a better step on getting more areas of the forest so that loggers could have some opportunity to produce timber, produce house logs, produce saw logs and things like that on a smaller scale. I guess I don't have any opposition with turning it over to the borough. In fact, I'd love that, but I don't think that would ever happen. But that's just my opinion. So I'm not so sure. I like the state forest plan. I don't know I understand the property rights and the settlement, but there's been a lot of settlement areas designated in the southeast of Susitna plan in these various plans that were just written, Mr. Woods is incorrect when he states that all the lands east of the Parks Highway is in forest. That's not true. If you look at the maps, there's, I think, a great majority of it's still in private ownership. State ownership can be used for other uses besides the state forest. And
who's next, Madam Clerk? Assemblymember Keogh.
Thank you. I would just like to voice my concerns with this resolution as written, too. And this, I say that as one who, when this issue was before us last, I was in the three-person minority who supported a resolution favoring the establishment of the Susitna Forest. So for the reasons that Assemblymember Halter mentioned and others, this should instead of tagging on this other stuff, it should simply be, are we going to support the establishment of the Susitna State Forest or not? So with that in mind, I would like to amend this resolution by striking on page 2 of 3 of the resolution and on page 246 of the packet, strike the second, third, and fourth whereas, and the last, now therefore be it resolved, portion of it, which would essentially bring it back to the resolution that we had earlier, a resolution simply supporting the establishment of the Susitna Forest.
Okay, there's an amendment on the floor. Madam Clerk, you got it.
Just to double check it, Mr. Mayor, it was the be it further resolved clause. Strike.
We have strike that, but also several whereases.
The second, third, and fourth whereas clause on page 246 of the packet.
Correct.
That's just about all of that page of the packet, right? Okay. Is there a discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
I guess I would just like to remind the body, this is not about the government taking land for perpetuity out of private management or sale or transfer, nor is it about establishing a process whereby timber can be cut. That's not what this is about. Establishing a state forest. Right now, the boreal forest is managed under the Susitna Forest Guidelines. There are no long-term, multi-use guidelines other than how timber is to be taken off of it. Identifying it as state forest allows the department to implement a land use plan for multi-user groups and to include timber harvesting and other resource extraction activities, including recreation, including land disposal, including preservation of critical habitat and land, but the department is unable to do that because it's not designated. I'm inclined to agree with Mr. Keogh's amendment to remove the language that talks about cutting timber, because it's not specifically about cutting timber. It's about creating a forest whereby there are state statutes in how that land is to be managed and multi-user groups are guaranteed access over time. I'm not opposed to Mr. Keogh's change, and I would support the motion as amended.
Could you give us some certainty that the Susitna Forest as legislated or proposed right now would accommodate sale and transfer to private ownership without legislative action?
Well, I'm not an administrator in DNR, Mr. Mayor, but I will say there's language in here that talks about the Tanana Forest, and I think given the history of the department's management of those lands, the annual sustainable cut there is, it's modified annually depending on request and need, but it's allowable up to 20,000 acres a year. So,
right, but what about changing the classification to settlement or
I'm sorry, I can't speak to that.
Yeah, well.
We have an amendment on the floor, sir.
Okay. Anybody want to speak to the amendment? Assemblymember Woods? No? Okay, we ready for the amendment? Assemblymember Culver?
The language you put in that's proposed to be taken out was you address larger timber blocks. Just correct me if I'm wrong or clarify. And address the ability to reclassify forest lands for settlement. I think that was one of our big issues we had with, we wanted to not preclude future settlement lands being disposed of.
That's exactly right. And everything I've heard about it in the past has said once state forest, always state forest, unless there's legislative action. Are we ready for the question on the amendment to withdraw the second, third, and fourth whereas and the therefore be it resolved? We're going to close debate. Madam Clerk, would you take the vote?
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the motion failed with Assemblymember Arvin, Halter, and Keough in support.
Okay, we have the main motion. And Assemblymember Woods, did you want to speak?
Yes, thank you. I have a very strong feeling that once a state forest is put in place and all the tourist attractions that they recommend, that once a state forest is put in place, it will always be a state park, not just a state forest. And I think that's happened in several other locations, and I feel that under these conditions, that's exactly what will happen with our state forest here in the borough. So thank you.
We ready for the question? No. I guess we are.
Do we?
Assemblymember Culver, you are on the list here, but I didn't see.
Okay.
It.
Well, there's the issue of Houston. Can you? Where is that? You know, I'm thinking if we want to make a statement that we want to allow for future settlement, we need to put something in the therefore be it resolved clause. A whereas is nice, but I think we need a very powerful statement and on reclassification and then maybe also on the future management of the forest. But where in the resolution have we addressed the concerns of Houston by withdrawing those tracts?
Well, it was my understanding that they did withdraw tracts around Houston, but I can't be certain about that. Mr. Manager?
That was their intention. And in a governor's office in the state forest, or after the concerns on the assembly, sent out a couple of representatives and met with the mayor and the members of some members of the city council and thought they were satisfied. And you also have a resolution from the city of Houston supporting this plan. So immediately after the concerns were raised by this assembly, the governor sent staff out there to address those with the city of Houston.
Okay, thank you. Well, Mr. Woods is kind of taking the lead on the settlement issue, and I'd feel more comfortable if he was going to support this with a strong statement on allowing for future settlements in a therefore be it resolved clause. So I'm kind of looking at you, Noel, for some direction on that.
If I may, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Assemblymember Woods.
I think that would be better than approving it as it is, yes. I would agree to that.
Okay, the last whereas that you tried to take out, now therefore be it resolved. The Mat-Su Borough Assembly respectfully requests the establishment of the Susitna Forest Regulations permit that requests that the establishment of the Susitna Forest regulations permit the reclassification of forest for further settlement. It's there. That's the last.
Be it further resolved.
Mr. Mayor,
Assemblymember,
if we pass this, it's either or. Right now, we're either going to pass it or we're not, and that's going to be clear, Mr. Culver's point, if we in fact pass this tonight. If we reject it, it doesn't matter what it says. But if we pass it, it's clear that the Assembly supports it, and it's just a resolution. It's not an ordinance.
Are we ready?
No.
Assemblymember Keogh?
One final comment, and that is I'm going to speak as an advocate for establishing the Susitna State Forest. I'm going to speak against this resolution as it's crafted here. Part of this language is, frankly, in my opinion, ludicrous to think that the state is simply going to transfer all or part of the Susitna State Forest, transfer ownership and management of the Susitna Forest into the Mat-Su Borough's inventory. That's ludicrous. So you've lost me. I'm going to oppose this bill. I'm going to vote against the bill.
So you would oppose receiving those lands?
I think it would be swell if we received those lands, but that's I think that's a hallucination to think that the state is going to transfer tens of thousands of acres to the borough out of the goodness of their heart. I'm not sure where the precedent is for that. I'd like to see it happen, but it ain't going to happen.
I'd like to move the question, Mr. Mayor, please.
I object. I've got it.
Assemblymember, Deputy Mayor.
Well, here's the deal. I can't tell how this is lining up, and I think it's important that we establish a state forest in the borough. I can't read the tea leaves here. I don't know if it's going to pass or fail. This is not establishing the Susitna Park.
I know. That's what Mr. Wood said.
I know. And I think it's important to put it in those terms. I would encourage the body to... We've talked about this for 2 years now. It's back in front of us. And there brings a lot of value for the disposition of those lands once the state classifies it as a state forest. And I would encourage the body to approve the motion. Thank you.
Madam Clerk, would you take the vote, please? Assemblymember Culver.
I called for the question.
You did call the question.
We need to vote on that.
Okay, so there is, the question was called for. Is there objection to closing debate?
Yes.
There is. So, Madam Clerk, take the vote on the question.
Assemblymember Halter. Closing debate, okay. Assemblymember Keogh.
Yes.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the motion failed. With Assemblymember Halter, Keogh, Solomon, and Culligan in support.
Assemblymember Culver, you have the floor.
Thank you. On your now therefore be a resolved clause, Mr. Mayor, in the resolution, add a little bit more clarity at the end of that sentence. It would read now, therefore be a resolved, the Mattox Susitna Borough Assembly respectfully requests the establishment of the Susitna Forest regulations permit the reclassification of land for further settlement and provide for this process in the law. So we want it in statute, not on a regulation. That would be my amendment. And provide for a process in the law.
Okay, there's an amendment on the floor. We ready for the vote? Assemblymember Halter.
That pretty much would gut this legislation. That kind of puts us right back into the Southeast Susitna Plan, where it's just managed by the state, and reclassifications would be part of that. And I kind of agreed with what Mr. Arvin said earlier. This is a multi-use plan where it gives the state and DNR a little bit more flexibility in managing the plan. It's not at all about logging. It's about a lot of different things. And it just gives them a better grip on their ability to manage the forest for the future. And settlement is already taken care of in the Southeast Sitna plan. They've got areas laid out for settlement. They've got areas laid out for agriculture. It's pretty well laid out. And these are the forest lands that they feel would be productive far into the future. And, you know, that's about... So if you trust DNR on water flow, trust them on this.
Okay, speaking against the amendment, Assemblymember Woods.
When the state forest people were here, they were very specific that under their control, there would not be any property available for cabins or private ownership within the state forest.
So are you speaking for the amendment?
Yes, I'm speaking for the amendment.
Thank you. Are we ready for the question? Okay. Madam Clerk, would you reread the amendment?
It's on the be it further resolved that the Mananus Susitna Borough Assembly respectfully requests that the establishment of the Susitna Forest permit the reclassification of the forest for further settlement and provide for a process, provide for process for this in law?
Provide for a process in law. In the law.
In the law. Thank you.
Okay, Madam Clerk.
Bear with me.
Okay.
Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Assemblymember Solomon.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Halter.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the motion failed with Assemblymember Culver, Culligan, and Woods in support.
Okay, we have the main question still unamended. Are we ready for the question? I think we are. Madam Clerk, would you take the vote?
Assemblymember Solomon.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter.
I'm going to vote yes, please.
Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the motion failed with Assemblymember Arvin and Halter in support.
So we did worse than last time.
Need some work.
We need to take a break. Let's come back at 8:30. Okay, we're through the consent agenda. We have a majority quorum at the table. It is 8:30. Madam Clerk, would you read the introductions, please, remembering the date on the first one?
For introduction for public hearing on April 16th is Ordinance Serial Number 13048 with accompanying Resolution 13052 and Ordinance 13049. And also for public hearing on May 7th is Ordinance Serial Number 13047.
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearings for April 16th, 2013 and May 7th, 2013.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so moved. And next, the vacancy report. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve your recommendations up for confirmation as follows. Board of Equalization, Anna Marie Weiland, Edna DeVries, Labor Relations Board, Robert Doyle, Local Emergency Planning Committee, Sherry Turner, Greater Talkeetna RSA number 29, resignation of George Wagner.
Thank you. That's moved. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Thank you. We are ready for comments. There's no executive session tonight, right?
Yes.
Yes, no.
Yes.
Okay. So we will, Mr. Attorney, do you have any comments closing?
No.
Mr. Manager?
Yes, I do.
Do you have the floor?
The Assembly asked to get someone to assist us with the budget process, and we received one applicant, Mr. James Wilson. It was not our intention to get one, but give the Assembly options. So his proposal is in your packet. Also, too, I have spoken with Assemblyman Culligan, who has examined and talked with me about the possibility of getting a couple of local professionals to put together a board, a local board review. The municipality of Anchorage has a committee that works at the Assembly every year of volunteers to go over the budget, and wanted to give you that option too, if that would be something you're interested in, as opposed to going with a contractor. This is your decision, and I'm here to make your decision work, whatever you choose to do.
Do you want action on this?
Direction. The one candidate who submitted an application is really ready to go at any time. Service. However, if you want to look at a local committee, I would suggest we bring you back some names in a committee plan for our next meetings, next Tuesday's meeting, which is going to be the ninth?
Okay. I would. The school board has used that practice for a number of years. It has worked quite well more recently than it did more distantly in the past. Anybody have any input, or Assemblymember Colbert?
Well, we already passed a resolution asking for this, so we're pretty much all in. This is the direction we're going. If we're going to do a budget advisory committee, we're going to need to set that up in by resolution or by code, and then go through the appointment process. And I'm not sure that's going to, we'll have it in time for this year, but yeah, that's a good suggestion. We might want to designate some seats, maybe, you know, layperson, a business person, the CPA, something like that. And I would look forward to some, if you want to do that, some legislation coming forward from who wants to sponsor that. But I'm speaking in favor of authorizing the manager to engage Mr. Wilson to provide us services as budget analyst for this fiscal year budget.
Okay, I think Assemblymember Culligan.
Well, I guess my question is, we need a resource to help out. I'd like to see us involve the community, the investment community, and local professionals in the future. I understand there's some time frames here. I'm just wondering, we only got one response. Is there any opportunity to solicit and get any other options by next Assembly meeting? I've heard of a couple, but I guess I'm a little disturbed by we just trying to select from one at $225 an hour, but anyway.
Assemblymember Woods?
Yes, Mr. Culligan expressed my opinion. Thank you.
Okay. Assemblymember Keogh?
Well, I'd like to echo the concern voiced by Assemblymember Culligan, the fact that we only have one respondent to the RFP. And second, I'm not sure how the Budget Advisory Board or committee is made for the school district, but there is nothing, I don't think, that would preclude us from having just an ad hoc committee of volunteers until a more formal board were established, if that were the desire of the Assembly for next budgetary year. But I wouldn't oppose some open-ended advisory board made up of citizens and professionals to weigh in with advice without going through the formal board establishing procedure.
Assemblymember Culligan.
I guess, you know, I guess I'm asking that maybe we postpone this till the next meeting. I would like to take action, even if we have a, you know, public involvement ad hoc board. We do need a resource, somewhat of an independent resource. So I guess, manager, if we could work on that and address this at the next meeting would be my preference. Otherwise, we go with what we've got and move ahead. I don't want to delay, but I think there are maybe some different opportunities if we can find a way to get that done. And I think Mr. Arvin's got his.
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Question for the manager. This was a procurement that was written up and pushed through the procurement office with a closing date and response date and normal procurement. Is that right?
Regarding maintaining a minimum amount of water in our streams for fish and denying the opportunity of individuals or tribes or corporations or NGOs to make that, I think that's... I hope the Senate deep sixes the bill tomorrow in the Senate Finance Committee meeting. They take it up tomorrow. I guess that's it, except to say that you know, we have in Alaska and in this borough we have an extraordinary amount of pristine waters, surface waters that are excellent habitat for salmon habitat. So I think we need to be far-sighted, as many other states and local governments have not been in the past in the lower 48, by not thinking ahead, by not protecting water, by not leaving enough water in the streams for fish. So that's it. Maybe another time. Thanks. That's my only comment.
Assemblymember Halter.
There's a great article in Alaska Business Monthly. And by the way, there's a picture of a dog team on the cover, too, kind of like that. But it's Thorn Bay Elementary School in Prince of Wales Island was converted from oil to cordwood system just this year. The school is now has two Garn WHHS 2,325,000 BTU cordwood boiler systems, along with an accompanying greenhouse. And George Hayes told me today that Dr. Paramo is ready to sign that management agreement, so I hope Mr. Moosey and Dr. Paramo could sign that as early as tomorrow, and let's get on with it, because one of the things I think they learned down in Thorn Bay, too, is you got to project out a year or two ahead to have a dry cordwood firewood ready, and so that'd be one of the things that they learned the hard way, and so we should learn from their lessons, and this will be a good system. I think when the numbers are penciled out with all the cost of fuel oil at what it is right now, this is going to turn out to be a great thing for Susitna Valley High School. And so it's a good article. It's fun to read. Cordwood system, Garn boilers. Need a management agreement, Mr. Moosey. Thank you.
Thank you. And I saw their presentation directly at a conference I was at. Assemblymember Colbert.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Lonnie's found the budget analyst resolution that we adopted. If she would read the pertinent points that therefore be a resolve clause, I think it kind of clarifies that we've already taken action and things are well underway.
So do we really need to read it?
Well, basically it says by April 1st, we've directed the manager to procure the services, and I think it says then by April 15th on the ground here.
Madam Clerk.
She can email that out to you, but I think we've directed the manager. He's done what he's asked to do, and we have the proposal. I don't know if there's time to reinvent the wheel here.
Anyway, I'd say not.
Okay. Then I think it stands as, I think the resolution is the action taken, as was noticed, and let's move on. I did go to Juneau last week. We are making some good progress. It's going to take resources on the ground, whoever can get down there next week, as those committee substitutes on the capital budgets roll out, and just having a few folks from here standing in the halls, not necessarily they're going to be so amped up, you know, but they know we're there, and I think we'll do well, but we do need coverage. Our fisheries research funding seems to really be high on our delegation's list. So I think that will come through really well. We had a notice to reconsider the multifamily legislation. You know, we were working on some amendments and stuff, so, if, you know, that's fine if folks want to look at that again. I would prefer that if we take it up, not our next meeting, but May 6th. If there's no objection, I would move to have that reconsideration taken up on May 6th. Mr. Mayor, would you recognize that motion if it's in order to have that reconsideration taken up on May 6th meeting instead of our next regular meeting?
Madam Clerk, do you want to speak to that?
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Culver, reconsiderations automatically go to the next meeting, so it would be April 16th. However, at that meeting, at the beginning of the agenda, when the agenda is being set, you could move to postpone it to the following meeting, and that would be in order.
Assemblymember Culver.
We could suspend those rules with a vote of five votes now and take care of it, and then you wouldn't have to have people show up on the calendar when it wouldn't be up. And that's what I don't like to do, is set expectations, get folks out here, and then we don't do it. So if we want to just vote on this and then forget five, fine. If we don't, we'll deal with it.
Is there objection to suspending the rules?
Yes.
Suspend the rules to do that. Postpone it until, have it come forward on 5-7?
Yeah. To have it come forward on 5-7. There was an objection, so, Madam Clerk, do you want to take the vote on that?
Assemblymember Solomon.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes.
Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Solomon and Keough opposed.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll be brief, Mr. Mayor. An issue that came up in Juneau, and the mayor would be able to speak to this as well, but we have this kind of ongoing issue of the fund balance retention, or at the end of the audit cycle, the 50% policy that comes back from the school district. And we passed a resolution that would oppose a House bill that would have monkeyed with that. And now there's some move afoot to craft some other kind of a way of doing that, to perhaps change that formula to the amount, the percentage submitted, or the percentage of the school district budget that equals the borough's contribution would be the maximum under, if they pass the state law, for that allowable rebate on audit. I would hope that we could, that wouldn't be an end of session crush bill that would go, that we would have time to maybe work session and have a discussion on that, because I'm a little uncomfortable with just endorsing something that we haven't thoroughly thought out or involved the whole assembly. So that's my thoughts, that if we're going to take a position on any different than we have, we need the assembly involved, and hopefully we can tell our legislators that, hey, we'll work on it over the interim and we'll get back to you, and that we wouldn't have to be cornered on that position. And Ms. Mayor, I suppose you'll want to weigh in on that too. That's just how I feel, that we need to come back to you all and have that conversation. There's pending legislation that's I requested be drafted, that's at the Planning Commission, on regulating locations of ice houses. There's been some conflict out of Big Lake this winter. Folks plow their road to their cabin, and they come out there, and then their plowed area right next to their dock and right in their front of their cabin. people with ice houses, they ask them nicely, maybe if you can move, and they'll just like, no. Anyway, you'll hear that. It's going to come forward, get out, it'll be going through the referral at the Planning Commission. It would just establish some setbacks from docks and whatnot so that you can get to your property and fire vehicles and whatnot kind of take care of that issue. So that'll be coming forward, I assume, within a month. And I think that's the lot. So I guess I'm just a little confused about the state forest. You know, I want to see something in black and white that says exactly what will happen. That's I'm real hesitant to sign off on something that this late in the session that who knows what it'll end up like, and then we'll be stuck with it. So far we've held our ground, and we're probably in a pretty good bargaining position, so maybe that's another issue we need to work on over the interim or not. If the Assembly doesn't want to deal with it, then that's we've spoken. Thank you.
Assembly Member Culligan.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll be brief, and with that, thank you.
Blessed are the brief. Assemblymember Woods.
I just want to comment that our legislators down there in Juneau are really doing a good job for us on this fisheries thing. We really have to commend them. Thank you.
Yeah, they're doing a good job on everything else. They're actually passing things. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I have a question for Lonnie. We took up the question to suspend the rules, but did that automatically take up the question to move the meeting, or do we have to take that up as a separate question?
I can speak to that. She corrected and filled out that it was a motion to suspend the rules to move a date. So we did it all in one move.
Okay, thanks. We haven't dealt with suspending the rules very much, so I just wanted to be clear on that. And regarding the Susitna Forest, I don't get it. I really don't get it. This isn't a conspiracy. There's not this boogeyman out there that's, you know, got the black cloak of government that wants to come and do a big taking of land from ever finding its way into private hands. So if it comes back next session, it's too late this session, but if this question comes back again, I would welcome an opportunity to bring subject matter experts in here from DNR and State Forestry to talk about the circumstances of Southeast Alaska and the Tanana Forest and how that program works and what it means for multi-user groups and small to medium duty timber harvest activities. And I will tell you, I'm not sure that it's easier sitting here at the table as opposed to calling
like
in.
The telephonic stuff.
There are a lot of animations that happen here that one misses, and I say that jokingly. I'm glad to be back sitting here. I apologize for my extended absence. It went on a little longer than I anticipated it to be, and I'm glad to be sitting here again. Thank you very kindly.
Thank you, and it is good to have you back. Well, I take full responsibility for bringing the forest back. I don't normally just bring things back. I think that's bad practice, but we were being leaned on by the governor, and I try to get along with the governor, and I thought I had addressed the issues that, you know, that we're getting most of the pushback from the public, but I think that just further confused it, at least for us. So, you know, I'm like you, Deputy Mayor. I don't know where we are. But I'm sure it will still be around in the next session because this is just the first round.
On the fund balance issue, following up on Assemblymember Culver, I was addressed by Senator Dunleavy asking on the discussion of the fund lapsed funds from the school district. He raised the subject of why we would have an objection to the school district hanging on to dollars that didn't have their source in our borough taxpayers. And I said, well, that's at least been my concern along the way. And he came up with the idea of guaranteeing that the same proportion of lapsed funds that is represented in our local contribution be what is protected in the lapsed funds that come back. And I think that was not my suggestion, it was his, and I did not guarantee that would be this body's support, but I am informing you, I think that's where it's going. So if any of you have heartburn about that, you should probably get on the phone and let them know. I am going tomorrow to Nenana. I've been invited by the Native Corporation there to go back on the new road that they've pushed west of Nenana into across the Nenana River into a whole new area of development, and partly as an education to what we may or may not eventually do on the little Susitna. But if anybody wants to go along, I'd be glad to have company and also somebody else to drive, because I intend to drive straight up and straight back. On the issue of resolutions for nonprofits, I have made it very clear to our legislators, and I think the manager has through the letter that he sent, these resolutions of support granted, they use those when they go to the legislature. We heard it on the testimony to the capital budget yesterday, but we've made it very clear to our legislators that by no means in our position preempts our priorities and the priorities that we put forward in the name of the borough. And so I don't think there's confusion about that. They may use that, but, that's a risk you take when you support some of your community projects. It dilutes the water. There's no question about it. And, you know, that If you really have a problem with doing that over and above our own priorities, we shouldn't be passing these resolutions. And I guess that's where Assemblymember Culver has come to. I enjoyed the new concept of positive deviance tonight. I think that's a nice turn of language. I will be gone. I've got to bring new breed stock up from Canada. So the week around the 27th of April, and I think that's right during our budget conclusion process. So I'd be real happy if we could be done with the budget before then. If you do your job right, Mr. Manager, we'll just okay it and go.
Yes, sir.
So I don't have any further comments tonight. Thanks for the the meeting, and we will adjourn.